if only we could banish bad pilot decisions. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the special feature. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, having our Monday safety chat, and we're going to talk today about bad decisions versus bad skills and which one is really the culprit in a lot of aviation accidents. Bob, we appreciate your taking some time out for our listeners today.
Thanks, Paul. It's always good to be with you.
If we could only banish bad decisions is the title of an article in the August edition of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot. This deals with the case of a Mooney pilot, a guy flying a Mooney 20, who no doubt did something that a lot of our listeners have done, but in this case, it turned around and bit him, and in a fatal manner. Tell us about this story.
This was a classic IFR flight to an airport, in this case, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a non-towered airport surrounded by rising terrain. As the pilot approached the airport, ATC said, report the airport in sight, and then followed that with, report your cancellation with me, either in the air or on the ground. The pilot, perhaps thinking that it might be difficult to close his IFR or cancel his IFR flight plan on the ground, quickly, and perhaps with an absence of forethought, decided, well, I'll cancel my IFR now. I have the airport in sight. Now, keep in mind, the airport was surrounded by higher terrain. It was a night arrival, moonless night, and in maneuvering for the approach to landing, he struck rising terrain and unfortunately killed himself and a passenger, which raises the question, why did he cancel the IFR flight to begin with? If he did not cancel, he would have to fly the whole entire instrument approach, which may have taken him 15 or 20 miles, you know, in a roundabout way in order to bring him into the airport along the final, you know, the published instrument procedure. But since he saw it, so he could see the lights of the airport, what he could not apparently see were the unlit terrain, the rising terrain, the hills surrounding the airport that were sparsely populated, and perhaps there were no lights. It was a moonless night, dark night, very difficult for him to see terrain below him. And he opted to report the airport in sight, cancel his IFR, and then proceed direct to the runway. And in moving and proceeding direct to the runway, he hit some rising terrain, and as I said earlier, unfortunately killed himself and a passenger. So, which raises the question, was this an instrument skills deficiency? Did he botch the approach? Or did the pilot exercise poor judgment in canceling his IFR clearance and following the IFR procedure into the runway free of terrain obstacles? I postulate that it was just simply a bad decision. He shouldn't have canceled. He should have stayed on the IFR flight plan and flown the published procedure to the ground.
And there may have been influences and pressures in this case too that we can't know, because obviously we can't talk to either person who was on the plane, but it's not clear from the accident report who the passenger was or whether get there itis might have been a factor or those sorts of things. But it doesn't really matter in the end because the result was the same.
Paul, you know, you raised a very, very interesting point. I have been in an airplane, and sorry to be so graphic, where I had to pee so bad that if I didn't get on the ground in 10 minutes, I was going to make a mess of the airplane. And if he saw the airport and reported it in sight and could avoid having to fly another 6 or 7 minutes on the approach, he may have been tempted based upon that reason alone. He may have had an ill passenger or an airsick passenger, or he may have been on a time crunch. He had to get the airplane down on the ground for maybe the airport was going to close entirely by 11. Maybe there was a procedure that said the airport closes after 11 o'clock. There's no more arrivals permitted. You're right, Paul. There could have been mitigating circumstances which would have said, cancel the approach, the instrument approach, and fly it visually. But when you fly it visually at night, moonless night, airport surrounded by higher terrain, unfamiliar circumstances, are you willing to bet the farm and fly this approach visually in order to meet whatever contingency he had. In this case, whatever he was wagering, it cost him his life, Paul, and the life of his passenger. Was it worth it? He would have been better off saying, all right, heck with this. I'm going to fly to Logan International Airport in Boston and rent a car. He would have been, could have been alive today as a result. These are the tough decisions, Paul, that we face as pilots. You know, the temptation to get in there quickly, for whatever reason, they're so overwhelming that we compromise safety in order to do that. And that's why people die in airplanes.
Well, and I have to observe, too, Bob, that this is not something you can solve once in your flying career, because we hear about accidents all the time in which, and this doesn't appear to be an accident chain in the normal sense, where you can look at three or four different steps that led up to this. This may have been a momentary decision. And obviously you can train someone early in their career to be good at decision making, but I think a lot of people over time, and after they've flown for hundreds or thousands of hours, get complacent and maybe let their guard down at times when even a student pilot would have kept his guard up.
Exactly. Let's not forget that we have one fatal accident a day in the United States. One fatal a day. That's over 300 fatal accidents a year in the United States. So something is wrong here. Now, in the grand scheme of things, some might say that this is an acceptable loss rate. But nonetheless, there's one of us who do something stupid like this every day of the year. Are you willing to bet the farm on this? And my argument is, don't do it. Take the conservative approach. Fly the full procedure. If that doesn't allow enough time, then go to your alternate and fly the procedure and land safely and fly again another day. Now, for our listeners and for me speaking here, you know, we're sitting comfortably in our homes or our offices and we're listening. It's easy for us. When we're in the airplane, I know it's a different situation. But we have to discipline ourselves to think about this. It's not just us. Just imagine having 97 passengers in the back. What would you do?
You're an instructor, Bob. You do flight reviews for people. How do you keep this this conservative ethic alive in decision-making in a guy that's been flying? In this case, it was a bonanza. He might have been flying it for 30 years. How do you keep it alive in someone who's been flying that long and seen that much?
I think you do it through these podcasts, Paul. If people would listen carefully, and you and AeroNewsNet are doing a great service by putting these things out there for people to think about. Think about them on the ground. Short of that, I don't know what else we can do other than, you know, hope by gosh and by golly that we somehow escape these problems. But again, I come back to the fact that we have one a day in the United States. That's far too many.
Well, Bob, we can sometimes raise questions we can't completely answer, and I appreciate your willingness to go there. We will talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks, Paul.
Bob's monthly newsletter is available free at www.overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.